You might remember a couple of weeks ago, and indeed last week, we thought again about the story of Mary and Martha. Which way round was it? Anyone remember? Yeah, good. Martha thought, my sister's not doing helping me. What was Mary doing? Sitting, listening to Jesus. That's right, we thought about this a couple of weeks ago and again a little bit last week. Followers of Jesus, they listen to him. That is a mark of a Christian, a disciple. They listen to him. We're starting a new sermon series in the book of Colossians. It's a book written by Paul. What are we going to do with him? What are we going to do with Paul? Turn with me, if you've got a Bible, to Colossians chapter 1. It's on page 1183, and 1182 even. 1182. Colossians chapter 1. And just listen to verses 1 and 2. Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul is writing, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. Who's writing? Paul. Who's he writing to? The Colossian Christians. Right. I need Josh and I need Benji. Which way round was it? Come up here, Jesus. Come and stand here. Come and stand. Benji, I think you need to stand up here, please. Come and stand up here. Josh, come and stand over here for me. Over here. Okay. Good job. Good job at being Jesus. This is yours. This is, what does it say on it? Can you read it? It's a bit hard to read round, isn't it? Yeah. Well done. Gospel. Jesus has the gospel. It's his. It's the gospel baton. Hop up here for me, Paul. Hop up there. It's just so people can see you properly. Here's Paul. Disciples, followers of Jesus, what do? Listen to Jesus. Now we're reading a letter by Paul. Just look again. Colossians 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. Now, does anybody know what apostle means? Either of you know what apostle means? Disciple. Disciple, that's one good way of using it. Certainly a disciple. Anybody, do you want to have a guess? Pardon?
Praise,
not quite. An apostle is a special disciple that Jesus chose to take his message to the world. Okay, so followers of Jesus, listen to Jesus. Get this. Followers of Jesus also, listen to Paul. That seems quite straightforward, doesn't it? Pop over there, because you two are on the same team. And you share the gospel baton. In fact, Jesus gives you the gospel baton, and you share it with everyone else. Okay? Tell me if this sounds, if you've ever done this before. When I was younger, I used to want a snack. So I would go to my mum and say, Mum, can I have a snack? And she would say, no. So I would go and I would find my dad. And I would say, Dad, I'm really hungry. Can I have a snack? Have you ever done that?
Well, I've asked my mum, and she
says
yes.
Oh, okay. Well, you're more fortunate than I am. I was a bit sneaky when I was little. I would ask mum, she would say no, and I think, oh, if I go and ask dad, he might say yes. What do you think dad said?
No.
He said no. Normally, he said, what did your mum say? And I was like, oh, no, why are you asking that? That's such a boring question. Why didn't you just say yes? But my mum and my dad were on the same team when it came to me having snacks. And so what my dad would say, what did mum say? Because he wanted to know. And in a similar way, Paul and Jesus, they're on the same team. Jesus is the good news spreader. And then Jesus says, be my apostle, be my special messenger, take the gospel baton to everywhere else. So that means followers of Jesus listen to Jesus and they listen to Paul. And I think that's going to be really important to remember as we look at Colossians together, okay? Followers of Jesus, what do they do? Listen to and so you have to listen to Josh and Benji. Thanks, boys. That's really helpful. You can go and sit down. You can even keep your names if you want. I'm going to pray that we would listen well to Paul, and I'm going to pray for explorers and for creche, and then it'll be time for them to go to those groups. Father, thank you so much that you've given us this amazing, rich, full book, your Bible, our Bibles. What a privilege. You've given us the whole Old Testament that Jesus says we should listen to, and then you've given us the New Testament and the accounts of Jesus' life, and he says, listen to me, and then he says, listen to my special messengers, Paul and Peter and James and John. We listen to them almost exactly like we listen to Jesus. Help us to do that. Help us to listen to Paul today, because he is Jesus' special messenger. And Father, we pray for our explorers, our younger ones as they go. Please, would they have a precious time looking at your word together. And Father, we pray for the creche. Please, would they know that they're loved and cared for. And would they, in their special way, have fun together as part of this family. In Jesus' name, amen. Good explorers and creche, you are very welcome to go if you would like to. I'm just going to check that we're all right here. Are you all right with these? Great. Great. So we're going to be looking at Colossians together. And in a moment, Chris is going to come and read. Chris is going to come and read for us in a moment. Before she does, though, I'd love to ask you a question. It might just be worth thinking about the answer to this question in your head, rather than feeling like you need to share out loud with the person next to you. Just have a think in your head. If you were thinking about this question, what would your answer be? How do you spot a healthy church? Have a think in your head. Anybody particularly want to share their answer? No, that's fine. Happiness. Yeah, okay, interesting. We might come on to that. Another question. Have a think about this one. What do you do when you spot a healthy church?
You feel good.
Join it. Yeah, maybe, yeah. Those two questions, I hope that we're gonna get an answer to from Paul as he opens his letter to the Colossians by telling them what he's been praying for them. Chris, come and read for us, and we'll get this one on. Caleb, can we get this one on? Great. We're going to read from Colossians 1, and we're going to read 1 to 14. Thanks, Chris.
Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
Thanks, Chris. This is the word of the Lord. And Paul speaks to encourage our hearts and instruct us. And so let's pray that as we look at this together, we would be helped. Our Father, thank you for this letter. Please, as we look at it together over the coming weeks and up to Christmas, please would you change us by it? Would you mold us into a church which loves the Lord Jesus and knows him more deeply? And we pray that you would begin that today. Amen. So Paul opens his letter to the Colossians by telling them what he's been praying for them. And first, how encouraging. These people, they've never met Paul. They've only heard about him. They've never met him. And yet he says, verse 1, we always thank God when we pray for you. And verse 9, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. How encouraging is that to hear that the Apostle Paul is pouring out prayers for them. And what he's been praying for them is going to help them and help us understand what he thinks a healthy church is and understand what we should do when we see a healthy church. And so the first thing to note is this. When you see a healthy church, thank God for gospel roots. That's what Paul does first. Verse 3, we always thank God for you when we pray for you, because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven. And it's the case that I've tried to capture it. We're going to think about Colossian church as Christ Church Colossae, okay? Over the coming weeks, we're going to have them in our mind. We're going to imagine them, Christ Church Colossae. And I've tried to capture what Paul prays here in the roots, in the logo, okay? The roots of the gospel have gone down deep into them and established them as a church. And we'll think about that in a moment. But he's not just praying their gospel roots in terms of their heritage, how they became Christians, but he is praying for their gospel roots that have gone down and caused them to grow. So he gives thanks for their gospel roots. It'll be helpful, I think, for us to know the story about how this came to be. So have a look at verse 7. He says all this stuff about the gospel that they learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf. So the Colossians, there's this man called Epaphras. We find out that he went to Ephesus and he met Paul and he became a Christian and he went back to Colossae and he told the Colossians, the people in Colossae, many people in Colossae, the true message of the gospel, of God's grace, and the eternal hope found in him. This is verse 5, second half of verse 5. This is the message they've heard in the true message of the gospel. End of verse 6. The day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. They've received the gospel baton, as it were, from Epaphras. And what is the result that it has? Verse 6, you heard it and truly understood. So Epaphras speaks the gospel, the Colossians hear it and understand God's grace, and how do they respond? They go, that eternal hope sounds awesome. Have a look at verse 5. Where do their faith and love come from. It springs, their faith and love spring from the hope stored up for them in heaven, about which you've already heard in the true message of the gospel. So Epaphras preaches, tells them about Jesus and the hope they can have in heaven, and they say, that sounds awesome. We want it. And that decision of the Colossian people to trust Jesus, those of them that heard and understood and trusted Jesus, that decision turns them into the Colossian church, Christ Church Colossae. Those believers now are brothers and sisters united in Christ, and they become the Colossian church. And Paul sees these four things in them. He looks at them, and he sees that, verse 5, that hope, that they understand, they have hope in heaven. And so he sees that, and he gives thanks for it. Verse 4, we give thanks because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. He sees their faith, so he gives thanks. And then he sees their love, still in verse 4, the love you have for all God's people. And he gives thanks for that too. And it's this message of the gospel that they've believed, that they've come to understand, that they have means they have hope in heaven and faith in Christ and love for all God's people. But it also is that same message that bears fruit among them. So verse 6, in the same way, this gospel that you've heard, in the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the world. So out there in the world, the gospel is bearing fruit among people. People are coming to know Christ and the churches are growing out there. But also, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. So Paul looks at the Colossian church. He sees hope in heaven, faith in Christ, love for all God's people, and them bearing fruit and growing. And he gives thanks. He sees it. He's never met them. He just heard of them. And he hears of these things, and he gives thanks for their gospel roots. He goes to his Father in prayer, and he says, Lord, thank you. Thank you for my brothers and sisters in Colossae who I've never met, but I know that your gospel is bearing fruit in their lives, and that is such a joy to me. So thank you, Father. He prays. And so I wonder what he would pray if he was looking at Berry Street, if he was hearing about Berry Street Community Church. I wonder what he would pray. I wonder what your thoughts are. I wonder what you think he would pray. Would he pray? Would he pray these thanks for these things? They're the mark of a healthy church. Would Paul see them among us? I think so. Just last week, I was stood by the door, and one of the members of this church family left the building and said, I'm one day nearer home. What is that if not hope in heaven? Praise God, give thanks. Another member of our church recently was burgled. This person said to me, it's rubbish, but I have everything I need because I've got Jesus. So that's faith in Christ that has taken deep root in somebody's life. Praise God, give thanks wherever you see that. You see love for God's people here? I do. Somebody amongst us has rather hurt their neck. And I know that she has received much care and love from this church family. Thank the Lord. What a good thing. Last week, I broke the lectern. By Sunday afternoon, it was fixed. What is that if not love for the church and for God's people? Thank you, Miles, for displaying love for God's people by fixing things. Thank you. Thank you, God, for Miles fixing things. Do we give thanks when we see these things? Oh, Paul does. We ought to. And amongst our number, do we see growth? Do we see ourselves bearing fruit? Do we see our growth in holiness and godliness and joy? I think so. If Paul saw, heard of Berry Street Community Church, I think he would give thanks. This man who we've never met, who we don't really know, who's got so many other things on his mind, would pray, "Father, thank you for Berry Street Community Church." How encouraging. And there are believers in our gospel partnership in Enfield who hear of Berry Street Community Church week by week and pray for us. And what do? So much of the time they say, "Father, thank you so much for the faith and the hope and the love and the fruit bearing of Berry Street Community Church. Thank you." People give thanks to God for this church. What an encouragement. What a joyful thing that as we love one another and serve together, people give thanks. Paul would give thanks. God rejoices in our service, in our hope, in our faith, in our love for each other. I think that's a collective picture as we serve together as a church. Worth asking, what about me? You and me? As we think about church as a group of, in many ways, individuals grouped together, how are we doing? Are we rejoicing that we have hope in heaven? Is our faith in Christ there growing? Would Paul see my faith in Christ and give thanks? Good questions to ask. This is what a healthy church looks like. That's why Paul gives thanks. I hope, in fact, this is helpful as well as we perhaps over time think about choosing new churches, or if we're just visiting, we're thinking about whether to stay. If we don't see these things in a church, we ought to be a bit worried. If we don't see faith in Christ in a church, that's a bad sign. That is not a sign of a healthy church. If we don't see love for God's people among a church, that is not a sign of a healthy church. If we don't see fruit and growth, that's not a sign of a healthy church. And so as we look for churches in the future, perhaps these are markers that will help us. Helpful too as we think about how to partner with other churches. So Turkey Street Community Church is having a public launch today. I know people there, many of you will know people there. Those people have hope in heaven, faith in Christ, love for each other, and they're seeking to bear fruit and grow. We should give thanks for Turkey Street Community Church. Father, thank you for that new church in that area that is a healthy church. What a joy. What a good thing. And wherever across London and across the world we see healthy churches that have these things, we give thanks. They might sing different songs, they might do things differently, they might have some different beliefs, but where we see hope in heaven, faith in Christ, love for God's people, bearing fruit and growing, Father, thank you so much for our brothers and sisters in that church and that church and that church where we see these things. These are the marks of a healthy church, and where we see them, we give thanks. But Paul doesn't stop with giving thanks. He goes on to tell the Colossians what he's been praying for them, what he's been asking God for. Here's what Paul's been praying. Got that? Verse 9 to verse 14 is Paul's prayer for us asking God for things for the Colossians. That's just verse 9 to 14 on the screen. You don't need to read it. The point is this. He's asking a lot. He begs God on their behalf. Here's my summary of all of that, okay? I've tried to boil it down. He asks God for gospel growth. In lots of ways, the things that he asks are similar to the things that he's already given thanks for. So verse 9, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives." End of verse 10, we keep asking that you'd be growing in the knowledge of God. There's this sense of what you've already understood in the gospel of God's grace from the end of verse 6. I want you to grow in understanding that more and more and more. And so it's not new stuff so much, but more of the same thing. They've come to understand the gospel of God's grace, and Paul wants them to understand the gospel of God's grace in more and more depth. Or have a look at middle of verse 10. He wants them to be bearing fruit in every good work. Well, we've heard that before, haven't we? The gospel, in verse 6, in the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit. Similar themes. He wants them to be growing in the thing that they've already understood. I wonder if you notice verse 11, his prayer. He wants them to be strengthened with all power. He knows that life is hard. There are all sorts of pressures in their city. He wants them to be strengthened with all power according to God's glorious might. Why? So that they'll have endurance and patience. He's articulating the Christian life is hard. Following Jesus when there's loads of pressures on you is difficult. And so Paul prays, God, give them strength according to your glorious might, so that they have endurance. And this is my favorite bit of the prayer from verse 12 onwards. He wants them to grow in giving joyful thanks. Now, verse 9 to verse 20, in the language it's written in, is one long sentence. Just have a look at verse 9. Glance over the to the right-hand side of the page to verse 20. 9 to 20 is one very, very, very long sentence as Paul overflows. He prays for them, he asks these things, and where does it culminate? Verse 12, I want you to grow in giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for in him all things overflows in praise of who Jesus is. And it lands in these verses, in verse 12 to 13 and 14, in gospel good news. So they're to give joyful thanks to the Father who has given them all the qualifications they need to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. There's a future day in God's majestic, mighty, wonderful kingdom where there will be lightness and joy. And God the Father has given the Colossian Christians everything they need to enjoy that promised inheritance with the rest of God's holy people. So they're to give thanks. Verse 13, give thanks because in the gospel, God has rescued you from the dominion of darkness. I don't know about you, but that just sounds bad. Reflect on the picture of a dominion of darkness, a place of darkness, a realm, a kingdom of darkness. That's where sin takes us. I don't want to live there. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. The Father loves the Son so much, and he's given him a kingdom. What a rich kingdom. Imagine God the Father gives God the Son everything, all the blessings, all the riches, all the life, all the fullness, all the joy. What a place to live. And in Christ, you can enter into that kingdom, a kingdom of life and joy and fullness. You get to live in the kingdom of his Son. Give thanks. In this gospel, verse 14, in Jesus, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. There's because of sin, there's a huge debt we owe to God. Our sins have brought us into debt with God, and there's no way we can pay unless Jesus pays on our behalf, and he has given us redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. And so these gospel truths, these gospel promises, Paul wants the Colossians to grow in them. And so he asks God for gospel growth. I wonder if that's the kinds of things we pray for one another. I wonder if we pray that we would each grow in our knowledge of God, grow in living lives worthy of the Lord, grow in bearing fruit. Do we wonder if we pray that we would be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might? What a great thing to pray for the person sitting next to you. Lord, please would you help this brother or sister of mine to grow in giving joyful thanks to you because of all you've done for them in the gospel. What a great prayer to pray for each other. And so if Paul sees this healthy Colossian church who love Jesus and trust Jesus and follow Jesus, and he thanks God for their gospel roots, and he asks God for gospel growth. And where we see that amongst ourselves, we should give thanks and then ask for more. Ultimately, we want to see this, that if we have Jesus, like the Colossians have Jesus, if we have Jesus like they do, then we have everything we need, and it is a matter of growing in him, understanding his gospel, understanding his goodness more and more and more. And so, how do you spot a healthy church? These four things. Wonder if they're on our list. We could include joy in the Lord, rejoicing in your hope in heaven, happiness, because the people of God are delighted that they have hope in heaven. That'd be a good one to include. Could attach it to hope in heaven. And maybe the thing that you thought of could be attached to one of those other areas. Maybe you hadn't thought of those things. Paul instructs us, here is a healthy church. And where we see those things, we give thanks. And what do you do when you spot a healthy church? Thank God for gospel roots. Ask God for gospel growth. Fairly straightforward. That's what Paul prays. And I wonder if we could just take this into the next few weeks and months as we look at Colossians together, as we get into more of the details. I wonder if we could take this into Colossians. You've seen this before, perhaps, on the train stations and stuff. I've adapted it. It's not as pretty in some ways, but hopefully it's helpful. I'd love us just to be doing what Paul does. It's interesting to me that he tells them what he's been praying. And he tells them, I've been thanking God for you. How encouraging to know that. I'd love us to grow in being better at spotting, hey, I noticed your faith in Christ yesterday. I was so encouraged by that. I thank God for your faith in Christ. And I'm going to pray for it to grow. Last week, after the community day, I said to Veman, I just noticed that he was doing a really great job of talking to people, and I said to Veman, you're really good at talking to people. And his reaction was, praise God. And I thought, yeah, that's right, actually, yeah. Yeah, I should do that. And so I want us to all be better at seeing marks of a healthy church among us, saying it to each other so that we can each be encouraged, and then praying for it when I get home. So we can try and do that. Just be attentive. Look around. Notice where you see people who have hope in heaven or are bearing fruit or seeking to love their church family, and say it and then pray about it. Should we do that now? Father, we thank you. We thank you for the faith in Christ that there is amongst this church family. And thank you for each individual person here who has faith in Christ. Thank you for the ways in which we see amongst this church family people who have hope in their future in heaven. And people who give a great love to those others in our church family and other Christians. And we praise you and thank you for ways in which we see the gospel bearing fruit in this church, in our own lives, as we grow in holiness, as we grow to be more like Jesus, as we love each other more and more and better, as we sing praise with more vigor because we're more delighted about being rescued from darkness into the kingdom of your Son and having our sins forgiven. We praise you, Father. We thank you for that work among us. And we ask, please, please would you grow us in the gospel? Would you grow us to know your will? By your Spirit, would you give us understanding and wisdom so that we might know what you're doing among us? Would you grow us in bearing fruit and pleasing you? Would you grow us in giving thanks? And so we do indeed give you thanks for all you've done for us in Christ, because in him we have everything we need. The world might take things away from us. There might be all sorts of pressures. And yet because we have Jesus, we have everything we need. And so we give you thanks. In his name, amen.